This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins us on the long line. He is formerly of VCU and now the president of VirginiaTomorrow.com, the must-reading new blog website if you want to understand and track Virginia politics. Good afternoon, Bob. Happy Monday.
And to you, Coy. Hope you're doing well.
Absolutely. Really good. Let's get right to it. You're 7 on Sunday. Folks should know that on Sundays, you put up all the very latest, the top 7 news items in Virginia politics and what's going on. So let's look at that.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about, Governor Kaine in the House here. It really seems that on a whole host of issues, if Governor Kaine has his name on the legislation, not a particularly good thing at the moment. It's an election year. He's been named the chair of the DNC. And at the moment, I think Governor Kaine's legacy this year is largely going to be his political success, as the House doesn't seem to be too interested in many of the reforms that he's putting forward.
And for example...
Well, you can take a look, Coy, at the election reforms that he's put forward. He wants to make it easy to have what people are calling no excuses absentee voting, House privileges in elections, said sorry. He wanted to extend early voting, House privileges in elections, said later. That by and large, Governor Kaine is going to have a real tough time getting much of his agenda passed this year in the House.
Bob, that's an interesting debate because I'm painting with very broad strokes here, but historically, Democrats have always sought to make it easier to vote, and Republicans have done just the opposite. Is that what we're seeing here now in Virginia?
I think we're seeing a little bit of that. We saw it in the past, but it sometimes has had this ironic touch to it. I recall about 10 years ago, Coy, when all the Democrats thought that what they wanted was registration at DMV registration. That was going to be fabulous because that was going to allow all these people, particularly they thought in the urban areas, to register more easily, and that was going to help Democrats. And I did a study of that. And what I found, in fact, is that, in fact, Republicans were so adamant against it, they took the Democratic Party to court. The end result, however, was that when we had registration at DMV, it actually helped Republicans. Because the people who were really registering large numbers at DMV were the people who were moving at the time to what were then Republican counties, Loudoun, Prince William, and the like.
Interesting.
And so every now and then you get these twists where the parties battle like cats and dogs over this one, including a court case, and it turned out they both had it wrong.
Fascinating. We're talking Bob Holsworth, president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. That's really interesting because I remember at the time of the big national elections a few months ago, there were all these headline news stories about absentee voting around the country, and so many Virginians were calling in saying, well, when can I vote absentee? I want to vote absentee. And you can in Virginia, but you have to satisfy a certain list of requirements, like, you'll be out of town on business, or I'm planning to go into
reason. And again, I think what the governor was trying to do is to make it a lot easier to vote, to have as what was called the no excuses absentee voting. And at the same time, there are a lot of people who don't like that. They think it takes away something from the aura of Election Day. They think, that you shouldn't just be able to vote at any time within a couple of weeks before the election. Certainly it's changing the dynamic of elections. So many states have people voting in large numbers beforehand, and at the moment, Virginia's, at least in the House, has simply decided they don't want to go this way.
So we probably won't see that this year.
I can't imagine it. And as I said, we might see it again some other time, but at the moment, it's an election year, and I'm not sure that the House Republicans are too eager to give the head of the Democratic National Committee in the country too many things to crow about as he goes around his travels.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Bob, is the trend across the country, are we seeing more of that? Are we seeing more states adopt no-excuse absentee voting?
And various kinds of early voting. We'd seen for years, Coy, the number of states, some states were going to, let's say, same-day registration. I had an opportunity a number of years ago to talk to Norm Coleman at a lunch. This was, you know, he was elected senator, and you know, prior to losing in this contested election to Franken. But prior to that, he had run for governor of Minnesota and lost. And I had been able to ask him the question of, how did you lose to Jesse Ventura? And what he told me was fascinating. He said, you know, I won the race I ran. He said, I thought I was running against Hubert Humphrey, the attorney general and son of the former vice president of the United States. He says, I beat him. He says, but, you know, who would have known that 14% of the electorate would have shown up on election day, registered to vote, and all voted for Ventura? You know, we had those kind of things going on for a while. Now many states have gone to various forms of early voting. You know, Texas has it, Florida has it. You have a whole set of places that are trying to allow people to vote over a period of time. It hasn't been something that has necessarily caught on with all the leadership here in Virginia, but it certainly looks like a trend that is you know, moving across the country, including some states that are controlled by Republicans.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, formerly of VCU, now president of VirginiaTomorrow.com, and we're honored to have him with us as a regular guest on Monday afternoons, and always look forward to it. Bob, along the same lines, let's talk about redistricting. First, explain to folks who might have just joined us from Omaha what that is here in Virginia and how it works, and how it's on the horizon and getting closer.
Well, you know, every 10 years, as a result of the census, the state legislature has to redraw the political map of Virginia. They draw it for the state legislature itself, and they also draw it for the Congress. They put forward a bill, and that bill is either approved or vetoed or amended by the governor. And why it's so of such high interest this year is that we're going to have in Virginia the election for all 100 members of the House of Delegates. And the House of Delegates that's elected this year is going to be the House that redraws the map based on next year's census. So we have a pretty fevered battle getting ready to take place here between the Democrats and the Republicans for control of the House, because they all know that it's control of who redraws the political map. And the last time this happened in Virginia, the change that occurred as a result of this was dramatic. The Republicans had a bare two-seat majority after the 1999 elections in the House, but after the 2001 elections, they managed to win 11 seats and have a majority that was over 20 in the House. So the Democrats remember that well, and that is why it's going to be an all-out political war, you know, by the time November comes around. For control of the House.
And for the folks who haven't seen the map of these lines, to say that they're gerrymandered is being polite.
I mean, well, it is, because, you know, right now, Coy, the technology is so sophisticated. You know, you can look at voting trends almost neighborhood by neighborhood. In many instances, you probably can know them almost block by block. You know, if you're smart enough to see who votes in primaries and those kind of things. And so these computer programs are far more sophisticated today. Legislators used to do it, you know, on the basis of their, you know, what their basically experience told them. But now that experience is sometimes belied by what happens in these computer programs. And so it's a much more technically sophisticated way of doing this than ever before. And it's enabled some parties, like the Virginia Republican Party, which I think was a majority party in 2000 in terms of public opinion, but it enabled them to extend that majority far beyond what the percentage breakdown was in the general population of Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, some of these districts, there's one district down in Tidewater, I know, that actually goes out into the James River and goes downriver and then back on land to get some more houses.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the case in American politics, but as I said, the sophistication with which they can do this kind of gerrymandering today,
yeah, it's become a
has
science.
Really gotten a lot of people concerned.
Yeah, it's become a total science, and I actually know some of the guys who write these programs, and they can make districts, they've told me, they said, we can make a district whatever you want. I mean, do you want it to be strong Republican, moderate Republican? They can create whatever you want and draw it however you want, and the General Assembly that is elected this November will be the one that chooses how those are how those are drawn. It's after the next census.
Right.
Very interesting.
And because of the impact that that line drawing exercise has, this always becomes one of the most important legislative elections in the decade, the one that precedes redistricting.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Bob Holsworth, president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And Bob, what of the potential you think that we might see, as some other states have put into place, a bipartisan commission to draw these so that we truly try to exorcise the gerrymandering and have balanced, fair districts where we really see a race in each of the districts and no safe seats?
Well, we're not going to see it in this census. The House has already, Privileges and Elections, has already rejected the plan that was put forward by a number of legislators to do this. I did a study this summer for Virginia 21 on this, and you know what you see is that there are probably a lot of good reasons to have bipartisan redistricting. I'm not sure that the evidence says that if you have the bipartisan redistricting, it will automatically result in fair, competitive districts. In some places, it results in incumbent protection. And in other places, what you find is that sometimes these political maps, as weird as they may seem, sometimes reflect the preferences for where people live. There's a guy named Bill Bishop who wrote a book called The Big Sort. And he argued that one of the things that's happening in the United States is that people kind of choose more and more to live with people like themselves. And that part of the problem in having these non-competitive districts is not simply the magic that's done through redistricting, but at times it's the result of these individual choices that hundreds of thousands of people have made about who they want to live next to.
Interesting.
And so it's a complicated matter. I think there are some good arguments for the promotion of healthy democracy on for bipartisan redistricting or trying to do redistricting a different way. But by no means do I think it's actually an automatic panacea to the problem of non-competitiveness in Virginia or anywhere else in America.
Good point. We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Let's update folks about the race for the governor's post here. Big election coming up in November. Three folks on the left vying for that nomination. Bob McDonnell, of course, the Republican nominee. You wrote recently about the strategy of Northern Virginia's Brian Moran. And flesh that out for us.
Yeah, this is really fascinating because I think Moran's entire way of pursuing the governorship was shaped and changed a little bit, or quite a bit, I think, by the entry of Terry McAuliffe. I think prior to that time, Moran wanted to be the urban metropolitan candidate against the rural candidate, Cree Deeds. And if he could have framed the election that way, he was pretty comfortable about what his outcome might be. However, with the entry of Terry McAuliffe into the race, it really complicates matters for Moran. And for a while, it seemed that he was a little unsure of his footing, a little unsure of where he wanted to go. The last week, however, the last 10 days, he's been very, very clear that he wants to define himself as the progressive alternative in the Democratic Party. He wants to represent what Howard Dean called the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. And you can see this in a number of things he's done. On environmental issues, he's taken some very strong stands, trying to make sure that he is greener than anyone else, you might say, in the primary. Last week, he came out against the coal-fired plant in Surrey. Things that neither Cree Deeds nor Terry McAuliffe want to do on that front. He hired Joe Trippi, a person who had been a principal architect of Howard Dean's effort to redefine how campaigns are run inside the Democratic Party.
That was a big move, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, and it really is clear to me that Moran has now defined himself as, you might say, the progressive insurgent. You know, one Republican joked to me the other day. He said, "I love this business." He said, "You know, here was a person who was, you know, checking off on the talking points: party leader, party leader, party leader." McAuliffe enters the race, and now he's an insurgent.
Right.
the fact of the matter is that I don't think that Brian Moran's really changed his views very much, if at all. I think that he's very comfortable with this position. I think it represents where he is politically himself. it's going to make for a fascinating Democratic race. There are a lot of people who believe out there that this is a good strategy for obtaining the Democratic nomination. There may be an equally large number of people who believe that if he obtained the Democratic nomination, some of these positions would harm him tremendously in the general election. But what we're seeing out of Moran are some bold strokes responding to the bold strokes of Terry McAuliffe. So fascinating race shaping up. And Creed Eads is going to hope that maybe he can position himself as the candidate of the Democratic Party traditional Virginia establishment. Maybe that'll be good enough to win with McAuliffe and Moran knocking each other around.
My guest is Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And, of course, what this means for Bob McDonnell and Bill Bowling on the Republican side, you describe them as two happy spectators.
Yeah, I mean, they're enjoying it right now. I think you're always a little worried that somebody will gain momentum and far more name recognition in a primary. But on the other hand, they're sitting there putting money into their piggy bank while everybody else has to spend almost all that they've had.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at the gubernatorial level, it won't matter that much. Barack Obama, Tim Kaine, and a host of other Democrats will make sure that whoever gets the nomination is well-funded. But Bowling is watching a similar thing happening at the LG race. Jody Wagner, John Bauerbank, a couple of other candidates who seem to have more trouble raising money have entered the race. And for Bowling, watching that happen is a lot of fun. He's not dissatisfied. He did tell me a very interesting thing, though, Coy. He said, it's going to be a very tough year again for Republicans. He says that the shape of the Virginia electorate has changed over time. The Democrats now actually have an advantage, according to Republican polls and party ID in Virginia, and it means that a Republican candidate is really going to have to appeal to independents and can't run simply a base strategy and win a statewide election in Virginia.
Interesting. Yeah. So what do the Republicans have to do, you think, this year?
Well, clearly they're going to have some ideas that are going to appeal to Northern Virginia. I don't think you can have a Republican race won without a transportation plan. It just seems to me that this is the day-to-day issue that has shaped the daily lives of so many people up there and has brought so much frustration that the level of expectation is that whoever runs for office basically has a plan for the future. And who knows how all this economic anxiety is going to play out, and who's going to help and who's going to harm. But I heard some Democrats talking the other day, and a couple of them said, we're just going to, tell all the public about Bob McDonnell's old ties to Pat Robertson, how much money Robertson gave him over time. And I thought, why would this work here when it didn't work for, all those Republican interest groups that wanted to tie Barack Obama to an unpopular preacher, Jeremiah Wright?
Good point.
I just don't think either the country or Virginia wants that kind of election right now. I think they want a serious election in which people talk about the issues and candidates talk about the issues that are going to impact people's lives at a time of tremendous uncertainty and heightened anxiety.
Absolutely. Virginians want to hear policy. In bad times, we all become policy wonks, and we want to hear, okay, what are your ideas to make government work right? Not to grow it, not necessarily to shrink it, but just to make it do what it does better, because it's obviously not doing it well.
Yeah, how are you going to help my life? Or how is your plan going to make life better for my family, myself, my friends, my community? I just think that, the message of the 2008 election was that Barack Obama was able to do that despite a lot of concern that had been raised about his friends and associates, and despite the fact that he really didn't check the experience box on his resume, is not really what was motivating the public here. And I think if the Democrats somehow believe that going back to what was essentially the failed strategies of the 90s, where they railed at the religious right every time they got a chance, is the key to victory in 08, they're going to be sadly mistaken.
Bob Holsworth is president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Must reading for regular listeners of this program, and also for anybody who wants to keep track of Virginia politics. Bob Holsworth joins us on Monday afternoons to keep us updated about what's going on here in Richmond and in Washington. Bob, always look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Coy. Take care. Have a good week.
You too.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.